You're listening to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the DFS Karma Podcast Network. Now here's your host with the most, Jack Caparuccio.
Trick or treat, is your favorite player a trick and you're getting egged by them? Or are they a sweet, sweet candy bar treat for fantasy football? We'll find out today. Welcome back to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the Karma Media Network. I'm your host, Jack Caparuccio, aka Clinic Cap on Twitter. This is episode number 13 of the No Cap Podcast. And since we're on episode 13 and Halloween is this Sunday, I figured we'd get a little spooky today. If you want to see my starts, sits, and weekly rankings, head over to dfskarma.com to read up on those. If you need dynasty help, always feel free to join our Discord at dfskarma.com, and you'll get direct access to me and the rest of the experts with our Fantasy Football Karma Season Pass Plus. Head over to dfskarma.com to check that out in more detail. Let's get right into it. So we have some news and notes to go over, as always. First being Dak Prescott is expected to practice this Wednesday with a calf injury. We saw after his last game that he had a boot over his foot, which is not good to see considering the ankle injury he had last season. But he's expected to be good to go for Wednesday and for the game. There's no major concerns there yet, but just monitor that as the week progresses if he has any setbacks or anything like that. Then obviously we need some pivot options. This one surprised me. Cam Akers might be a hopeful return for the playoffs. So not only do we have a limited sample size on running backs coming back from Achilles tears, but that sample size doesn't look very good. We all know that. That's why we've all been monitoring Marlon Mack so closely this year, because The history for running backs coming off this injury is terrible. They are essentially out of the league or just completely useless for fantasy after this happens. So it's been seen as, you know, the death knell of running backs. So I'm going to be shocked if Akers is back this quickly. He's been looking good in his rehab, but I would almost want them to not do this. I would rather Akers come back and have as much time as physically possible. I'd much rather you come back next season than the playoffs, even if it is only a couple carries, because one, you don't want him to get re-injured, and two, you don't want him to rush it back and not look good, because then we'll have a little bit more indicator on next season. So I'd rather he wait, get more up to speed, get back up to strength. Obviously, if he's good to go, that's his choice, but I would be very surprised to see him come back for the playoffs, given the history of this injury. Joe Flacco, Mr. Elite himself, has been traded to the New York Jets. So the King of New York is back, Joe Flacco. And this is because of Zach Wilson's knee injury. Now, if you watch the game, the injury looked a lot worse than what they're saying it is. They're saying it's PCL sprain and it's 2 to 4 weeks he should be out. But I'm kind of hoping they just shut Wilson down for the season. I'd rather he not get hurt worse. And quite frankly, he hasn't looked great in the action he has gotten. He looks like he tries to force a lot of throws, or he gets too conservative. He hasn't found the right mix of both, and obviously that comes with experience. But if I'm the Jets, I know that my team is all around bad. So I would wait, let Zach Wilson watch, develop, learn more of the NFL playbooks, more of his scheme, and build out a better team around him and try again next year, because we know the Jets are not winning anything significant this year. So why risk the franchise quarterback that you just picked up and, you know, risk his health even further? So ride Mr. Elite Joe Flacco. And I say it jokingly, obviously. I'm not saying Joe Flacco's elite seriously, but it's been a running joke for a long time that back in the day, people used to say, is Joe Flacco elite? Is he not? That was a big debate on any NFL major show for a long time. And, you know, that's up to you if you think he is or not. Devontae Adams has been placed on the COVID-19 list ahead of Thursday's game. He's not expected to play, which obviously stinks for a lot of fantasy teams. And then you immediately think to yourself, oh, well, I'll just pivot to Alan Lazard, who's had back-to-back weeks of double-digit fantasy points. Well, guess what? He is now on the COVID-19 list because he was not vaccinated, so he has to be on it longer. That is per league protocol. And now we're left scrambling to think, who am I going to play? What do I go? Randall Cobb? Do I go Robert Tonyan? Do I go Marquez Valdes-Scantling? Do I go Equinemius St. Brown? Who do I go to? And my answer is, I don't know. I really don't know. I would advise, if you have to play a Packers pass catcher on Thursday, go with the one that Rodgers trusts the most, and that would be Randall Cobb. Now, this is one of those situations where I'm just trying to avoid as a whole. I'm not trying to go and guess, oh, is this the St. Brown boom week? Oh, is this the Amari Rodgers week. Like, I don't want to play that game unless I have to. So if you're asking about what Packers player to start, I'd go with the one who, you know, has the most tenure with Rodgers, which is Cobb. But my overall advice for the situation is to just try to avoid it if you can, because one, I don't like Thursday games because they tend to score lower point totals than expected. But two, it's one of those things where whatever you guess is probably going to be the wrong option. So it's really a pick your poison of if you want to be wrong on one guy. You know, I'm just trying to avoid it. It's so messy at the moment. And there is a case to be made for Tonyan, but the Cardinals defense is really good against tight ends this year. So unless Rodgers just peppers him with volume, I'm not sure he can overcome that. In other injury news, Nick Chubb is back at practice for the Cleveland Browns, and Kareem Hunt went on IR, short-term IR, not season-ending. So that is great news for Nick Chubb and any Nick Chubb managers. But I also think Darnus Johnson can still be rostered, considering the fact that Kareem Hunt is on IR. He'll likely mix in as the RB2 there while Chubb is getting back into the fold. And he's not the great pass catcher that we want him to be. So maybe Felton gets in the mix, but even we saw last week, Felton was not super heavily involved. He ran out on routes and a couple catches here and there. And I was, you know, on paper of saying that I preferred Felton in PPR, which obviously I was wrong because Darnus Johnson had, you know, like a top 5 week in his one start. So wrong on that one. But I do think he should still be rostered behind Chubb just in case he gets hurt again, or in the case that, you know, they still use Johnson. They'd like to use both running backs a lot. So he still could have flex value every week. And then in bigger news for them, Baker Mayfield is still not back at practice. I know that they've been debating him having surgery to completely fix it. I'm not sure what they're going to do there, but it's certainly something to monitor. OBJ is back at practice, even though I'm not sure it matters a whole lot for fantasy at this point. I think that OBJ, there is a case to be made that he can be dropped because he hasn't done anything for you. He has not done anything for your teams. And he always seems to be this fool's gold of, here's this big name of, you know, one of the best rookie wide receivers of all time, statistically speaking, one of the best starts to his career. But things haven't lined up in Cleveland for him. It hasn't meshed. And I don't know if him being with Case Keenum, you know, another week will help that, because Keenum does have a propensity to take more deep shots. But it didn't look great last week when it happened either. And obviously OBJ is hurt, so that could be affecting things too, but OBJ seems to always be hurt. There always seems to be an injury. So for me, if you're in a smaller league, like an 8-team league, I think he can be dropped. I'll hold on to him for like one more week. One, I don't have him in any leagues because I don't like rostering OBJ because it's always frustrating. But if you do roster him, I'd hold on for one more week or wait for some kind of spike game. Maybe he has a touchdown, a long catch, something like that, and then trade him away. But I'm not looking to start him, that's for sure. Sam Darnold was benched in the Panthers game and replaced for XFL superstar PJ Walker. And this is concerning because outside of the first three games of the season where the Panthers had a really cakewalk matchup against all their teams, and even the fourth game because Darnold was having so many rushing touchdowns, he hasn't been good for both NFL football and fantasy football. I tried advocating for people to sell Darnold while they could in those two weeks where he had four rushing touchdowns in 2 weeks. And if they weren't going to sell him, I tried to advocate to not expect this every week. He was not going to keep those rushing touchdowns up, which is a lot of what was booning his fantasy production to begin with. I'm not a Sam Darnold hater or anything, but I'm just saying this guy does come with his cons, and we're seeing it. He makes mistakes on the field. And obviously, he made enough mistakes to get pulled, which is super concerning. It should be concerning. And then all these rumors of the Panthers being in the mix for, you know, trading for Deshaun Watson, you can take that how you will. But the fact that that's even a conversation and the fact that he got benched tells me that they're not maybe completely bought in. They picked up the 50-year option and they didn't trade that much to get him. So I don't think there should be any expectation that he's necessarily their guy for their franchise. I don't see many people benching their franchise QB even when they have a bad game. They play through it. So in terms of the Panthers patch casters for fantasy, without CMC in the lineup, all of them seem to be dinged down, right? Sam Darnold was doing fine until CMC got hurt. And DJ Moore was doing great until CMC got hurt. So I think that CMC, one, draws the defense in different areas and makes them, you know, fixate on him so other guys open up. But also, it does affect Darnold's performance because you don't have, you know, the guy who can take it to the house on one check down sitting right next to you. So I think it's a downgrade for the offense as a whole while he's in this slump and while CMC is out. Obviously, if Darnold, you know, turns things around and regains his confidence, whatever is left there, and CMC comes back, then they'll go back up. And I still love DJ Moore. I mean, DJ Moore is one of those guys who's talented enough if he had the right volume and the right quarterback to be the wide receiver one overall for fantasy. I don't think that happens this year, of course, but I'm just saying that that talent is there. Darren Waller is expected to practice this week. If you're a Waller manager, you were sad last week with that last minute out and hopefully pivoted to Foster Moreau or another option, but Waller's expected to practice, be good to go. I think that they held him out last week more as a precaution so that they don't make things worse. And Saquon Barkley is still expected to be out until at least week 9. So if you're a Devonta Booker manager, you know you have him until at least then. And if you're a Barkley manager, you still have to wait and see what happens. So this segment I am going to do in the spirit of Halloween. I'm looking into players that I think are a trick the rest of the season or a treat for your fantasy teams. To find just a good list of players, I sourced this from Twitter and I asked, who has exceeded your expectations and who is disappointed? You know, who has burned you? Who's been a boom? Who's been a bust? That kind of line of thought. But these are the type of guys that I think rest of season will either help your team or hurt your team. But let's get spooky with it. My first treat is Michael Pittman Jr. of the Indianapolis Colts. And I highlighted him a few weeks ago on Twitter. I didn't highlight him on the show for whatever reason, but I talked about him on Twitter in a little mini thread about how his peripheral numbers were good, how he was getting 9 targets a game, how he was getting the X amount of target share he had, the 2 red zone targets per game he was getting, but that it wasn't converting yet, but that it wasn't hitting because him and Wentz were still getting on the same page and those red zone opportunities weren't hitting yet and the big plays weren't hitting. And I said, he is a buy low because his peripherals are so good and Wentz does like to hyper target his wide receiver one or his first option, as we saw with Zach Ertz for so many years, and that Pittman was a buy. And now, in the last couple weeks, Pittman has done really well. In this last game, he exploded and he helped your team a lot. And I think rest of season, Pittman is going to be a treat for your team. I think he's going to be a huge value because look at what has happened to that wide receiver core. T.Y. Hilton went down again to another soft tissue injury this last week. And then Paris Campbell had another foot injury. He just had surgery. He's out 2 to 3 months. So it begs a question of who's left, right? Besides the running backs and Jonathan Taylor and Naeem Hines, who is left for Wentz to throw the ball to on a consistent basis? It's Pittman. I could see Pittman approaching target shares like Brandon Cooks, 25% plus, 30% plus, Devonta Adams type area of high target shares. I could see that happening the rest of the season. And he's actually good. He's going on to a full-on breakout. So I like Pittman rest season. I think that if you're a dynasty player, there's a case to buy high on him because I don't think we're even scratching the surface yet because the touchdown number I think will go up next season as he gets more comfortable with Wentz just another year in the offense. So Pittman's a guy that I'm trying to get right now in dynasty and redraft if you can get him because some people, he doesn't have the name value attached to him yet, right? So if you can trade somebody with a big name, like an Allen Robinson and OBJ bundled together to get just Michael Pittman, I would do that in a heartbeat because I want the guy that's going to be productive, not the guy that looks good on paper. My next trick, and he's a really tricky one, and I think he's more like a rotten egg hitting your house type of trick from a little kid, is Allen Robinson of the Bears. And it stinks because Allen Robinson's a good player. At least I'd like to believe that. He has been that guy who we thought was QB proof, right? He went through the Blake Bortles era. He went through the Mitch Trubisky era and all the guys in between that. And he did fine. He produced for fantasy. You know, he had some spike weeks, but for the most part, he was like a consistent 15 points for your team and you banked on it. And this year he was touted as, you know, he's always that mid-round value of a guy you can depend on. He'll always be there for you. He'll always be there in the fifth, sixth round turn, right? And we took him there and we have not even been able to start the guy. I don't think he's cracked 10 points on the entire season. And it's not only that he's not producing. There's a couple things going on here. He's not separating as well as he did in the past. If you watch the games, he's not separating from DBs like he used to. And I don't know if there's something going on, like there's an injury we don't know about. I could totally see that being the case, and he's just not talking about it. But I think the larger issue here is the offense. And it's not a Justin Fields knock. Obviously, Fields does not look great, but we got to remember, these are rookies. The only rookie quarterback that has actually looked really good is Mac Jones. The rest of them have just been okay, or they've had flashes and then really inconsistent patches. This is what rookie QBs do historically. Guys like Justin Herbert have made us so impatient for rookie QBs for fantasy. And historically speaking, rookie QBs cannot sustain more than one receiving option. And Fields has shown that his favorite option is Darnell Mooney, because Mooney meshes better with his deep shot, even though we don't see Fields taking a lot of deep shots. His ADOT has been low. If you look at his passing chart from this last week, they were all like within 7 yards of the line of scrimmage, which is part of the problem here. And part of the problem, too, is the low passing volume. The Bears aren't throwing a lot. Matt Nagy, when they get down 30 points, will call a draw play right up the gut. Say, oh, this will put us back in the game, right? So the larger issue is not about Fields. It's not about Robinson. It's about the situation. It's about the fact that the offensive line is comprised of a couple of folding chairs and styrofoam blocks in front of Fields. It's the fact that Fields is attempting like 20 passes a game, so the pie isn't even that large to go around. And it's the fact that Matt Nagy remains so conservative. It's the coaching staff. It's the situation. This offense, outside of the running backs, outside of David Montgomery when he comes back, and Khalil Herbert right now, because he has seemed to take over that backup role or that RB1 role while Montgomery is out, and I think he'll be the RB2 when he comes back. Outside of those guys, I don't want anything to do with this. It's a mess. The only way I see Allen Robinson paying off last season, not being a trick for your team, is Matt Nagy's gone, or Matt Nagy just completely changes who he is and turns into this pass-heavy approach that we have not yet seen from him and have no indication that that's going to happen. So if you can get anything for Robinson at this point, I'm getting it in redraft. Trade him away. Get somebody who can help you win now. In terms of dynasty, I think Robinson is the player you can buy low on. I'm not going to give up a ton, but we got to remember Robinson's contract expires after this year, and he's the type of guy I could totally see going somewhere else, going to like a New England, and just flipping the script, becoming what he was before, because he's not that old, and wide receivers tend to last longer for fantasy. So I'd buy low on him in dynasty, really, really low, but in redraft, I want nothing to do with it. I have egg on my face, and it's very stinky from Allen Robinson. My next treat is Deebo Samuel. He has been a delicious treat for your fantasy team, and he oftentimes went way later than his counterpart, Brandon Ayuk, at least in drafts. The problem with Deebo has never been his ability, right? It's never been the fact that Deebo can't break one open. He can't get in space. Like he didn't have any of those knocks. He's super athletic. He runs good routes. He can be used in the offense in a variety of ways as like a jackknife type of player or Swiss Army knife. But the problem with Deebo was always soft tissue injuries, right? It was always he couldn't stay healthy. But this year, he has stayed healthy. And not only has he stayed healthy, but the other guys around him have either not been involved like they were supposed to be, or they got injured, aka George Kittle. So Deebo Samuel is getting an absurd amount of the target share compared to everyone else, no matter who the quarterback is. And believe it or not, when Lance was in the lineup, Deebo's target share was even higher than it was with Jimmy G. So he's shown that either QB is going to throw to him. I think it's by design. I think they want to involve him in the offense no matter what, because we see what he can do. We see he's explosive. He can provide big plays. He can bust one open. Like, I think he's just the best offensive player they have at the moment. So they've built the offense around him in a lot of ways, and you got him at such a value that he is a big treat, and I think barring injury, he's going to help your team a lot rest of the season. I would not be trading him away if you're a contender, because I doubt you're going to get someone with that kind of target share and that kind of explosiveness back in return in a trade. My next trick is his fellow wide receiver mate, Brandon Ayuk. And Ayuk was a guy that not only myself, but so many people were in on. All the peripherals were there. He had a great rookie season, a historic rookie season. If you put it in comparison to other great rookie wide receivers and what they did the next year, the whole expectation was, well, look at what he did as a rookie. Imagine what he's going to do this year. And it hasn't. I remember the big counter-argument against Ayuk this offseason was, well, what's going to happen when there's a healthy Deebo Samuel and George Kittle on the field at the same time? What's he going to look like then? And that hasn't even been the reason why he hasn't produced, because Kittle has been out how many games now? The reason he hasn't produced, reportedly, in the beginning was an injury, and I could have believed that for the first couple weeks. But now it's just this insistence to not use him. He's not getting the target. He's getting dogged on by his coach every single presser saying, oh, Ayuk needs to do this. He needs to learn how to be a pro. He needs to learn how to grind. Like all these coach speak terms that they throw out there. But the problem is this situation. If he can't get targets and the coach doesn't want to involve him, what do we do? If you have Ayuk, he's probably dropped by now. And I don't blame you, right? I dropped him a week ago because you have to cut your losses and get and pick somebody up who can help you. I dropped him, pick up Khalif Raymond because Khalif Raymond has actually gotten targets. Even though he's on a terrible offense, he gets targets. He can help my team, throw him in the flex, right? Ayuk, you can't do anything with him. You can't throw him in the flex and trust that. You don't want to leave him on your bench because what's he going to do? Get you 5 points on your bench? So I think Ayuk is a trick the rest of the season. I would love if he turned it back around because the talent is there. I would love if the 49ers just traded him. Trade him away if you're not going to use him. But I'm not sure either of those things are going to happen. So for the rest of the season, I'm not touching him. A lovely treat has been Cordarrelle Patterson. And I wasn't going to put him in here at first because a lot of people didn't even draft him. And that's just the truth. If you say, I called Cordarrelle Patterson, you calling him means that you said, I'm going to stash him. I'm going to pick him up off of waivers. You know, after week one, we had that good performance. I'm monitoring him. I talked about him as somebody who, if given touches, could be good. But everyone thought it was Mike Davis, and we all know that. Everyone touted Mike Davis as the mid-round, you know, running back value if you're going zero RB approach. That's just what was out there. You can look. You can go back and dig in tweets and takes and all that, and you can see all that stuff out there. It's well documented. But Patterson has been really good to the people who picked him off waivers and have believed. I was somebody who didn't believe this would keep going on. I said after his first couple performances, like, sell high on him. Because I didn't think that, one, he would keep maintaining this efficiency. And that's what it was at first, is he wasn't getting a ton of touches. But the touches he was getting, he was hyper efficient on them. And that's why I didn't think it was sustainable. But this shift has happened where Patterson has become the RB1 of the team. He's getting more snaps. Mike Davis's snap share went down tremendously last week. And that was in like a, you know, a fairly close game. With Patterson, I really do think this is going to sustain rest of season. I think it's like one of those flash in the pan opportunities because the guy, you know, 30 years old, has never really been used to this degree. But I think this is what he's going to be the rest of the season. And I think if you lucked into him and got him off of waivers right away, you know, good on you. Good on you for believing and not selling. That's when you should applaud yourself. Give yourself a pat on the back, you know. And I think he's going to be a treat the rest of your season. So I wouldn't be selling him because I don't think you're going to be able to get value in return at this point. Because people will say, oh, well, he's never done this before. You know, he doesn't have that name out there. This name value matters a lot in fantasy, in trades at least. So he doesn't have the name to get you the same kind of production back that he's already giving you. And that's, you know, the thesis of the whole thing. My next treat is Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, much like Deebo Samuel, was a guy who wasn't being drafted super high. Obviously, people like Cooper Kupp. There are people who document out there who called this one, who said, I think Cooper Kupp is going to be Matthew Stafford's next primary target. I think he's going to pepper him with targets and love him. And that's exactly what's happened. And not only has Cooper Kupp become Matthew Stafford's favorite target, Cooper Kupp in full PPR is having the greatest wide receiver season of all time for fantasy. He's beating Devontae Adams. He's on pace to break a Calvin Johnson record. Like, the guy is in top five single season wide receiver performance all time conversation right now. And I don't think there's any counter argument really out there that is stating this can't sustain. I think it can. You know, I don't think he'll go, you know, 30 touchdowns, anything like that. But with how Stafford is targeting him, how the offense looks, and the fact that Stafford has no regard with throwing to anyone else if he doesn't want to, I don't think there's any reason this can't sustain. And remember what Stafford looked like when he had Calvin Johnson. He targeted the crap out of him. And I can tell you as a Detroit fan, I watched it. Whenever they'd get in trouble, and the Rams haven't gotten any kind of real deep trouble in games yet, but whenever they would get in trouble, Stafford would just go, Calvin's down there somewhere. I'll just throw to Calvin. He'll come down with it. Right? And that's what he's doing for Kupp. He knows Kupp is down there somewhere. He can get separation and get open. Or he can adjust his body. He's going to make that catch. He has that level of trust with this wide receiver. And Robert Woods is good. Van Jefferson's good, right? But it doesn't matter. It's who he trusts. And Woods has had some bounce back performances. He had his squeaky wheel game 2 weeks ago when he had like, you know, 9-10 targets. But Cooper Kupp's a treat. I'm not trading him because he's wide receiver one overall. So if you were to trade him, what do you have to get in return to realistically do it? Probably like a top five running back and a top 15 wide receiver in return, which somebody's probably not going to give you at this point in the season. So if you drafted Cooper Kupp or you traded for him, he is a lovely treat for your team. This next one might infuriate some people, but a trick this year, I think, and rest of season has been Antonio Gibson. Remember when we all talked about Antonio Gibson can become the next CMC? He was wide receiver in college. He had X amount of carries in college as an actual running back. Ron Rivera talked him up as CMC skill set. All of these narratives were out there, right? But it hasn't come true. And this is, take this as, you know, with a grain of salt. The guy is hurt, okay? He's got a shin fracture. He had a calf issue a week before. He's hurt. He's not 100%. But the telling thing is his usage, right? We all thought, oh, the receiving work's finally going to come this year. Once that receiving work comes, he's going to crack the code. He's going to, you know, be this next great RB1. And it hasn't happened. They're not using it as that. Antonio Gibson at this point is closer to Josh Jacobs than he is Christian McCaffrey. And people will hear that and go, oh my gosh, how can you say it? It's not about Gibson's ability. It's not about his talent. He has the ability to do it. I've seen him catch it. I watched him take a screen pass 70 yards to the house a couple weeks ago. It's not the fact that he can't do it. But we have to look at what the team is using him for. They obviously like using J.D. McKissic in this pass-catching role, and that's not a secret. Look at their snap shares. Look at their target percentages. They want McKissic to be the pass-catching back. So I think it's a trick this year. I do still think long-term, McKissic's contract expires after this year. I think long-term, Gibson can still crack this code and still, you know, add the pass-catching to his repertoire and be a great fantasy running back. But I don't think it's going to happen this year. I really don't. And it's because of the injuries, it's because of the usage, and it's because of the team. The team is bad. The team is worse than we thought it was going to be, right? So Antonio Gibson, I think, is a trick, but it's not because of his ability. It's because of the situation, and it's because of health. One of the biggest treats has to be Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase, we talked about it multiple times in the show. We had that period of time where Ja'Marr Chase got his hands amputated and couldn't catch. People would have you believe that out there, that Ja'Marr Chase lost a finger or something. You know, that's how bad it was at one point where, you know, oh, he can't look at the lines on the ball and can't catch. Like, all of this stuff was out there, and he was saying some of it, but a lot of it was taken out of context. And we know in Dynasty, I highlighted it multiple times, by Ja'Marr Chase. We talked about it before the season started because I said he could become the wide receiver one of this receiving room. And what has happened in terms of production? Ja'Marr Chase is having the greatest rookie wide receiver season of all time. Look at the stats. And guess what? We just saw the greatest rookie wide receiver season of all time last year from Justin Jefferson, his old teammate. And we thought, well, there's no way he can be better than Justin Jefferson because Justin Jefferson just broke records. But he's doing it. And we have to acknowledge that. I love T. Higgins much as the next person. If you put Higgins on almost any other team in the NFL, he's probably their wide receiver one. And he's garnering target share. Higgins had almost 40% of the targets last week, but Chase still had like 26. And when Higgins is in the lineup, Tyler Boyd just is irrelevant for fantasy. You can't predict that. But Chase is obviously Joe Burrow's favorite target. He's taking the deep shots to him. And there's an argument to be made about it because people say, well, Higgins is still getting this high target share, so he's not irrelevant. And I'm not saying he's not, or I'm not saying he is. Higgins is still going to be useful, but it's about the value of those targets. When the Bengals are down and they need a shot, who do they go to? Do they go to the T. Higgins? No, they go to Ja'Marr Chase when he's in one-on-one and he can burn a guy. When they need a touchdown, who's Burrow going to? He's going to Ja'Marr Chase or C.J. Uzma if you look at this past week. But this is the point. It's the value of those touches. It's the trust the quarterback has in the player. And it's not that he doesn't trust T. Higgins, but he trusts Ja'Marr Chase more because he's played with him longer. And look at, like, it's the same argument with Cooper Kupp. It's not that Robert Woods isn't talented. It's not that T. Higgins isn't talented. But it's who the quarterback prefers and who they have the chemistry with to trust in these tough situations. And the Bengals are a good team this year. They're going to be in tough games going forward. So I think Ja'Marr Chase is a treat rest of season. If you're in redraft, you don't sell him. If you're in dynasty, you don't sell him. Unless you get wide receiver one overall type of return in dynasty for him. This next guy is a trick, but only because of expectations out there. People talked about how Josh Jacobs has, you know, disappointed their expectations. But I think if you really looked into Josh Jacobs before the season, you knew what he was. He's a two-down back that doesn't catch passes. And that's not to say he's not good for fantasy, right? He converts on a lot of touchdowns. He gets a high touchdown percentage, which is what props his value up. And I think he's a good running back. I always have. I think he has that pass-catching skill set, much like Gibson has, but he's being not being used in that way, and he's also been hurt. But Jacobs as a whole, I think, will trick you a little bit because he's not been used in this capacity that you need him to be used in, right? So if he has a week where he doesn't convert on a touchdown, he's likely going to have a bust week for you. But he's not ripping off huge chunks of yardage. He's not getting these high yardage volumes in a total game. He's just getting a lot of touchdowns when he is on the field. And he hasn't been super healthy. So I think he's trick rest season, but I also do think he will have good weeks for you. And he's the type of guy I'd be fine locking in an RB2 spot. But again, it's all about expectations. If you expected him to be a three-down workhorse with pass catching, you're obviously, you know, disappointed. And my biggest treat, and I'm so happy about this one, not because I'm a Lions fan, but because I tried advocating for Swift all offseason. DeAndre Swift. I said it all offseason that this guy would be the next Austin Eckler, but with better, I think he's got a better rushing skill set than Eckler does. And it's not a victory lap for the purpose of victory lapping. It's to try and show you my process of how I come to these conclusions. The whole argument against Swift all offseason was, well, Anthony Lynn said he's a B back. And he said Jamal Williams is the A back. But that was taken out of context. People saw the quote where Anthony Lynn said B back, A back, right? But they didn't read the whole article where Lynn talks about this is how we use our guys in this offense. My B back is my more pass catching guy, third down skill set, where if we're in a negative game script, we're going to go to him. My A back is more of that two down grinder in between the tackles. And this is exactly what's happened. Look at how Jamal Williams is used. Look at how DeAndre Swift is used. But DeAndre Swift is getting even more of the work than Jamal Williams is. DeAndre Swift is becoming both the A-back and the B-back because he's the better player. It was obvious. It was obvious that DeAndre Swift is the better player than Jamal Williams. DeAndre Swift, if Jonathan Taylor wasn't in this class, he would have been the RB1 of this draft class easily. Easily, in my opinion. And, you know, people thought because the offense would be bad. No one's disputing the Detroit Lions' offense is bad. The team is bad. But people thought because the team is bad, they won't put up points. So I don't want anything to do with DeAndre Swift because he's not going to get me touchdowns. But that's when you fail to miss the point of PPR fantasy football. Half PPR and full PPR, you should have been in on DeAndre Swift no matter what. Because even if you say he's the B-back, right? He's the pass-catching back. Well, that's the role you want. Catches in PPR leagues are worth vastly more than rushes. So you want the guy in the offense that they're going to go to in negative game scripts. A negative game script meaning when a team falls behind and they have to play from behind. Negative does not mean bad. Somebody brought this up to me earlier where I brought up negative game script and they said, well, you're implying that Swift is only getting used because they're a bad offense and they're having a bad game script. And I had to try and clarify and say, negative game script does not mean bad game script. Negative game script just means that the team has fallen behind and they're going to have to throw more to get back into it. The pass volume goes up. There's stats out there proving that. Unless you're Matt Nagy, of course, then you just keep running draw plays. But, and there's the inverse is true too, right? If you're in a positive game script and you get ahead in a game, you're going to run the football more, try to control the clock, try to control the pace of play, keep it slow, keep the opposing offense off the field. It's basic game scripts, okay? But with Swift, he's proving to be game script proof. And this has only just recently happened because his first couple of games, obviously he was the Jalen Hurts of running backs where all these points came in garbage time, fourth quarter. But now, I mean, look at last week against the Rams. He ripped off a 14-point play in the first quarter and was used consistently through the rest of the game in a closed game. Until they got to the end of that game, that Lions game was close in terms of point totals. So they were trying to keep it, you know, in control and control possession and run the clock out on them. Obviously it didn't work out, but that's what they tried. So Swift is a treat rest season. He's like the RB2 overall in full PPR. You don't trade him away. And barring injury, and he's dealt with the nagging groin injury, which obviously hasn't hindered things. But barring injury, I think Swift is a top five lock at the position rest of season because the volume is there. He's getting the valuable touches in the passing game, and he's actually converting on red zone touches for rushing touchdowns, much like Austin Eckler this year. And my last guy, who is a trick and a treat. This is like if you're lactose intolerant, but you really love ice cream, so you eat the ice cream regardless the one time, and then you spend the rest of the night on the toilet, right? This is what it feels like to roster Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, king of the trash man, I'm going to start calling him. Jalen Hurts, the trash man, because he only gets points in the fourth quarter. If the guy could get points in the other three quarters like he got in the fourth quarter, he might have 80 points a game. And, you know, I was on record as saying that I thought Jalen Hurts was a top five option at the position this year, and that he had QB1 overall written in him. And the reason I say he's a trick and a treat is because some of what's coming out of the Eagles camp and some of their moves lately, moving quarterbacks around, shifting things around, picking a quarterback off waivers, which I think was just a backfill when they trade away Flacco. But I don't think it's unreasonable to think that Hurts could be benched at some point this season and relatively soon, because things are starting to get out of hand in Philadelphia. And I think part of it's Hurts. Part of it is the fact that, you know, he's not getting the easy throws. He's not getting what's there for him, taking what's there. And sometimes, you know, Miles Sanders is hurt, but I've watched some plays where they're running an RPO. And Sanders, if he were just to hand it off to Sanders get 5, 6, 7 yards out of it. But more often than that, Hurts pulls the ball and runs for his life. And I think that defenses know this, and they don't respect the run game in Philly. And, you know, they haven't been running much, but they don't respect the run game that's there with the running back. So that makes it harder on him to even complete passes because they know they're not going to use the running backs because he won't, you know, hand it off in an RPO. So that's part of it. I think Hurts needs to make some of those decision-making adjustments to trust his running backs, to trust the guys that are next to him. But I also do think a lot of it is Nick Sirianni in this offense. The offense does not look good, and it hasn't looked good with how it's called. He's been very conservative like Matt Nagy in many games. And the only reason Hurts has been racking up these points is because they go into prevent defense in the fourth quarter and he just runs, you know, rip off a 20-yard run. And they don't care. Why not let the quarterback run for 20 yards? Because it's not going to help them win the game if they can't score all these points or if they're not competitive for three quarters. And part of it's coming from his rushing touchdowns because of that same thing I just mentioned with the RPO game where he's just taking it himself, which for fantasy is great. But for long-term rest of season, it could be bad because he could just keep doing this, could keep falling behind in games. They keep losing, and they could pull him. And I don't think Gardner Minshew is necessarily a better option than Jalen Hurts. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But Gardner Minshew will probably take more of what's there. He'll probably follow the offense more to the script, right, of what they want him to do. So Hurts is a trick and a treat because as long as he's in the lineup, as long as he's on the field as a starting quarterback, he's a treat for your team. Because as we've discussed many times, he's a Konami code quarterback. And Konami codes do not have to be good throwers to rack up fantasy points, which is exactly what Hurts has done this whole season. But he quickly becomes a trick if he gets pulled. Because obviously then you don't have a starting quarterback in your roster. So Jalen Hurts is ice cream if you're lactose intolerant. Maybe lightly lactose intolerant. You can eat and hope it doesn't do anything to you, but maybe at the end of the day, you're going to be stuck in the bathroom for an hour. That's it for today's show. Make sure to follow me on Twitter @ClinicCap. And if you like the show, be sure to like and subscribe or follow the show anywhere podcasts can be found so you never miss an episode. And leave a quick review if you'd be so kind. If you want to directly ask me questions about fantasy football, sports betting, dynasty leagues, or life in general, head over to dfskarma.com and join our free chat room where you can talk to me nearly 24/7, 365. If you want even more fantasy help and access to proprietary tools, you can get our Fantasy Football Karma Season Pass today at dfskarma.com. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the No Cap Podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review anywhere podcasts can be found.